Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the DS Smith AGM trading statement call. My name is Indy, and I'll be your coordinator for today's event. For the duration of the call, you will be on listen only. However, at the end, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If you need assistance at any time, please press star zero on your telephone keypad, and you will be connected to an operator. I'm now handing you over to your host, Miles Roberts, to begin today's conference. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Miles Roberts, the CEO of DS Smith, and I'm joined by Adrian Marsh, our CFO. Our trading statement released this morning relates to the period of trading since the 1st of May 16. The business has made good progress since the start of the year, and our performance has been in line with our expectations. Volume growth remained good. Every region is in growth, and we're particularly pleased with the ongoing growth from our pan-European customers who continue to benefit from our increased scale and coverage, reflecting our investment in quality, service and innovation. Our return on sales and return on average capital employed have both shown further improvement versus the comparable period last year, reflecting the benefit of operational leverage and the strength of our business model. And since the start of the year, we have continued to invest organically and also acquired businesses in attractive geographies and market segments. These include e-commerce and display, and they build on the 5 acquisitions we completed in the last financial year. We have subsequently announced 3 further acquisitions so far this year. The proposed acquisition of GoPacker in Portugal will expand our position in Iberia and complement the operations we have there already. The transaction is expected to complete during the first half of this year. Acquisitions of Creo in the UK and Decupack in Denmark have both been completed. Both of these are focused on display for FMCG retail and media markets, and they build on our already significant capability in this very important, attractive and growing market. So we're pleased with the start of the year, and momentum within the business has continued. We're growing organically and through acquisition. Obviously, notwithstanding the increased political and economic uncertainty within Europe, our outlook remains positive. Packaging has ever-increasing relevance in a dynamic retail and consumer environment, and our recent acquisitions, together with the market and customer opportunities for growth, give us real confidence for the future. Thank you. I'm now very happy to take questions, which either myself or Adrian will answer.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, then please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and wish to withdraw your question, please press star 1 again. You will be advised when to ask your question. Thank you. Our first question is from the line of Alex Mees from JP Morgan. Please go ahead, Alex.
Good morning, Miles. Good morning, Adrian. Just wonder if you could provide a bit more colour on your acquisition pipeline at the moment. What are your priorities for acquisition targets, and what sort of financial capacity you think you have, given where your gearing is, please?
Adrian will comment on our financial position, but the pipeline of acquisitions remains good. There's quite a bit out there. We're obviously very choosy. All of our acquisitions we made last year are performing well, fully in line with our expectations. So we're quite excited about the new ones this year. There's a lot of work to do. We're pleased with those. We think we'll make some make very good returns from them, all in line with our medium-term targets. And the pipeline is good. We still remain about 16% of the European box market. So we think there's plenty of room to continue growing and developing. I think I said before, we're seen as a consolidator of choice. And I think that's as true today as when we said it. What about gearing, Adrian?
Yeah, on that, Alex, you know, as you know, the company has been and remains very focused on deleveraging to give us the capacity and the headroom to grow. I mean, we are geared at about 2x. We've always said we can go to around 2.5x before we start getting too focused on where things are. That said, the acquisitions we've made so far are relatively small. I think in total, to have in mind, about 70 million, something like that, sterling. The business is cash generative. Focus remains on generating cash to give us that opportunity. And if something significant comes along, then we'll look at how we finance that.
Excellent. Thank you, and good luck for the rest of the half.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Robert Eason from Goodbody. Please go ahead, Robert.
Hi, good morning, everyone. My first question is just on the general pricing environment. You know, given recent announcements from containerboard producers of an increase in the coming weeks, and how you see that panning out, and more importantly, how you see it, you know, filtering into box prices. My second question is around, you know, the acquisitions. Quite clearly did 5 acquisitions last year, and you've done a further 3 this year. Can you just give us a few financial metrics around them in terms of, you know, what is still to come from the 5 acquisitions last year in terms of sales and EBITDA, and what should we be penciling in on an annualized basis for the deals that you've done year to date?
Yeah, look, if I did that pricing, and then Adrian will take you through the financial returns. Look, on pricing, what there, as always, there are a number of moving parts. Currency is starting to play quite an issue here, particularly in the U.K., where sterling has obviously devalued against a number of currencies. This has, you know, resulted in some price momentum in the U.K. in paper prices. Where does it go in the future? I think it very much depends on the strength of the U.K. demand, but also on currency. Now, look, you know, the prices have gone up there, and I suppose our model is that we pass the money back to our customers on the way down, and we recover it on the way up. We always have, and we fully expect to do that in the future. As I said, our margins have been going up year to date. When we come onto the continent, there I think we've seen, you know, reasonable stability in paper prices over the last few months. You know, demand is okay. There's new capacity coming on. I mean, it's difficult to say. I don't see prices falling particularly, but depending on demand, the paper price will respond accordingly. The euro did fall against the dollar. That put some pressure on input costs. The euro is now back to pretty much where it was against the dollar at the time of the UK referendum. So, you know, I think we just have to wait to see what happens on some of these currency moves. But from us, you know, we have the mechanisms in place. We pass it back when the price goes down, and we recover it on the way up, and we don't see any change to that.
Yeah. On acquisitions, we're happy offline to go through any assumptions that you've made and to have a look at where, you know, we feel they're sensible or not. In terms of what you should be expecting, though, I mean, we're very focused on the financial returns that an acquisition has to make. We look at how quickly we can get to delivering in excess of cost of capital on the acquisition, and generally speaking, it will be unlikely if that's less than 2 years on the acquisitions we're making. Clearly, some will be slightly longer than that, and clearly some will be slightly lower. Depends precisely the type of acquisition it is. But generally speaking, we have a pretty strong feel of the synergies we're going to generate from them. And, you know, track record to date has been that's delivered in line with what we've been expecting. But if there's some specifics on that, we can pick that up with Hugo and Rachel later.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Justin Jordan from Jefferies. Please go ahead, Justin.
Thank you. I've just got three very brief questions. Sorry. Firstly, Adrian, can you just reconfirm that number? I think you said 70 million of M&A spend year to date.
Yeah.
Secondly, can you just comment on impact, if anything, year to date, post 23rd of June, of Brexit on 22% revenues for DS Smith from the UK?
Sorry to tell me.
Yeah.
The answer to your first question is yes. It's around about 70 million sterling.
Yeah. Justin. Okay.
Yeah, and look, just on Brexit.
Yeah.
At DS Smith, we're working in Europe, and Europe is a very uncertain place, and it has been for many years. We've had the Catalonia issue, we've had the Greek issue, we've had all of these sort of economic issues, and now we've got this UK vote on the referendum. We have no idea where it's going to end up and what exactly the final trading relationship between the UK and Europe will be. But we've always planned for a difficult market. So we are 78% of our volumes are in what we call very resilient categories, predominantly food and drink. And the UK is no exception. The UK makes up about last year, I think, 16 or 17% of our profits. So if the UK does suffer, it's the delta is on 16 or 17% of the group. You can see where we're expanding and growing in the recent announcements, and we think those categories also have quite a bit of resilience in them. And lastly, the degree of inter-country trade, will be more specific, inter-country trade is generally pretty limited. So, you know, it's not as if, you know, the UK is sort of very heavily dependent on, you know, being supplied from overseas. We've got a lot of currency movements at the finished goods level. So there's something at the raw materials. So overall, I think we're well positioned to weather a storm. But obviously, we don't know what that storm's going to be. Hence, we say notwithstanding. But at the moment, I said all reasons are in growth, and I have to say the UK, in terms of volume and moving forwards, it continues to do well. So we'll just have to see. But we're not, we designed the business to be resilient, and that's how we expect it to perform.
Sure. Okay. Just one final question. Benchmark OTC prices in euro terms are up, I think it's some 18% year to date. Obviously, 16% pan-European market share. You're one of the biggest buyers of OTC on a pan-European basis. What have you seen, and what's your ability, if any, to recover that in terms of that potential margin squeeze from higher Tesla prices?
Absolutely. Well, look, on OTC, We look at things in a constant currency basis, and overall for the world, you know, there's plenty of OCC. There can be local increases in demand that can just look at things very, push up price very locally. Prices of OCC in the States are falling because obviously the dollar's very strong. That 18% increase is on the back of a deterioration in sterling and the euro against the dollar. The euro's now back, and you know we'll see what happens to OCC prices going forward. It may not be certainly as strong as it has been in the past. So we have a currency issue there. I think that is certainly one of the factors behind the increase in the UK price of paper, and indeed may lead to some in Europe as well. So we have this currency issue. I say we source across a number of continents, and you know we're aiming to iron out some of these inefficiencies between markets. We haven't completed that work at all, but clearly our increased size and scope enable us to source more widely. So you know the headline prices in any one market may not you know don't tell the whole story.
Great. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Kevin Fogarty from Numis. Please go ahead, Kevin.
Hi, guys. Morning. A couple of questions have obviously been answered already, but just a few specifics, just, you know, taking up that point on pricing. I mean, have you got to the point yet of raising prices, or, you know, you anticipate that sort of coming down the line, given what we've seen in OCC pricing? And secondly, just, I guess, a bit more color on the acquisition pipeline in terms of the sort of scale of opportunities you see there. I mean, are there sort of material opportunities you see? You know, it just really, I guess, in terms of the mix of what you see in the pipeline would be helpful. Thanks.
Yes, so on prices, the prices of paper in the UK have gone up, and we expect to recover that. We don't see any reason why we won't. We have a series of mechanisms to do that. We've got excellent relationships with our customers. We've given it back to them when prices go down, and we'll recover it on the way up. It's a bit early to tell on the continent, but indeed some of the pressures may indeed push some prices upwards, but it's too early to say.
Okay.
On the acquisitions, now you can see, I think last year we spent what, 600 million euros. We spent another, as I say, 70 so far this year, and everything coming in sterling. So you can see we've put quite a bit of investment in there. When we look at the size of opportunities, you know, there are a number. There are things around the sort of, you know, 30, 40 million, but there are some things that are quite a bit larger.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, Europac was around 300 million euros, and, you know, we do have a number of opportunities. There aren't any sort of anything enormous, but there are some that are quite significant. And that gives us that confidence in that pipeline.
Sure. Okay, that's very helpful. Thanks a lot.
The economic sort of a bit of turmoil just sometimes frees a few things.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Now that's understood. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Kevin Hellegard from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead, Kevin.
Good morning, guys. I was wondering if you could just add a bit more detail maybe in terms of which regions you see most potential for M&A and what the total amount could be to stay within the leverage target or the leverage range you gave.
Yeah, I think in terms of the regions, we've been pretty consistent around, you know, the whole German, Polish industrial corridor remains strong focus for us. You'll have seen us building up in Iberia. That remains a market of focus for us. They tend to be where we're most interested at the moment. That said, we saw a very attractive Scandinavian business in display to strengthen our portfolio there. So whilst I wouldn't say we're totally agnostic, we have an area of strategy where we're very interested in, and then we have specific business types that we're particularly interested in, and that's where it's less obvious from a geographic perspective. In terms of acquisition headroom, I think I said 2.5 times is about the level we feel comfortable for. So if you add half a turn onto our EBITDA, you can, you know, at times our EBITDA, you can see broadly the additional capacity over and above the cash generation of the business that we feel we can sensibly acquire to.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Hector Forsyth from Stifel. Please go ahead, Hector.
Hi, good morning, guys. Couple of very quick questions to start with. Capital Markets Day, you mentioned it, the full year results. Is that still on?
Absolutely.
Oh, do we have a date?
Invites will be going out in the next few weeks.
Yeah, so you'll receive an invite, yeah, very shortly.
Okay, fantastic. Slightly different tack here. Pension deficit. Adrian, can you talk us through what has happened in terms of that over the last few weeks and months?
Yeah, yields have gone down, so liabilities have gone up, not unsurprisingly. The investment return has been reasonably positive. So the deficit has gone up, Hector. I haven't got the precise figure at the moment, but when I last looked, it was an increase of 50 to 60 million. But it we will be going through a evaluation process fairly soon anyway. But yeah, I mean, it's, as you know, it's not a huge deficit in the scheme of things, but clearly when yields come right off, you'd expect your liabilities to go up, and that's exactly what's happened, at a higher rate than the investment return. But it's not it's not a shattering number, but clearly it's on the negative.
You've got a significant amount of liability hedging in there, haven't you?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So that reduces the headline effect, if I'm right.
You're absolutely right. It will do. But you still can't get away from the fact that when yields come off, you have an impact on how you value,
sure,
those liabilities. But yeah, I mean, clearly actions we've been taking over the last 3 to 5 years have significantly reduced what the impact could have been. But you're never going to totally de-risk this, a scheme like ours. Or neither would you want to. I mean, we're in a last man standing scheme, so you know the liabilities are quite long into the future.
No, that's absolutely fine. That's thank you for that. Couple of other things, just on some of the themes of the questions being asked. Can you give us your net paper position in the UK?
Right. In the UK, we are producing. In terms of test liner, we've got about 600 odd thousand tons of test liner. There's some other products that we make as well. They're sort of outside of packages, like 600. The UK, our UK business consumes in total about 600,000 to 700,000 tons. But not all of that is test liner. So therefore we have a slightly long position in the UK. It's a consequence of the Kemsley Mills tons.
So the overall UK market position is the UK is a net importer. So we're able to sell our paper to other suppliers. With the recent strength of sterling, opportunities to sell on the open market overseas have been more limited. However, we do supply our northern European businesses with paper from Kemsley because it's so close. And we do sort of hedge forward various things, but the reduction in sterling obviously makes in the value of sterling makes that export market slightly easier for us, albeit the price of fibre has increased. So we do have a slightly long position in our business. UK market is overall short. Obviously, we supply our northern European business with that paper as well, and that should hopefully strengthen slightly given the current weakness of sterling.
Okay, so it's net slight help in the UK margins.
When everything feeds through, yes.
Okay, no, that's terrific. And then last question is regionally, in terms of trading, it's such a short period of time, but any changes, and particularly in Northern Europe where it was a little bit harder going through the end of last year?
Look, every region's in growth for us. We talk about pan-Europeans, and overall the group is volumes are growing very nicely. There's no doubt that up in the north, etc., we are doing better. For various reasons. That's very positive. We've got a lot of the southern European markets have done particularly well recently as part of their ongoing sort of economic recovery. And places like Spain, there's no doubt that it's benefited from a very strong tourist season, and because there's sort of been food and drink, that's probably added a bit of a little bit more a gloss on that number. France, we're growing, but the market is, the French economy is difficult. Our sort of central European business with Germany, again, we are growing, but the German economy has been a little bit quieter as well. So, good overall growth, but as always, there's a slightly mixed picture. But obviously, within the realms that if one of our regions is growing. It's Europe. a few differences.
Okay. Guys, thank you ever so much for that.
Not at all.
Thank you. Our next question is a follow-up question from the line of Justin Jordan from Jefferies. Please go ahead, Justin.
Thanks, guys. Just one very quick follow-up. You've talked in the past about customer pull into new geographies, and I guess Iberia is a good example of that, where you've done several transactions in recent years to satisfy customer demand. Mm-hmm. When you think about potential expansion outside of Europe, you know, you've talked at the year end about North America, about Indian subcontinent, about Asia Pacific. Where are you on thinking about expansion outside of Europe, and I guess particularly potentially M&A in North America?
You're right, we at the year end we talked about some of the progress, and that progress really has continued. The ongoing feedback, particularly in North America from our customers, is very positive in how we're helping them, because as they say, you know, they want our solution in those markets, and these are quite a number of very substantial customers. So we remain very positive on that. We're not at the end of our thinking as to how we are going to serve them in those, support them in those, in that market. But it does look encouraging.
Right. So that sort of reads as an inference of nothing immediate.
No, we're not at the end of our thinking. I mean, ultimately here we have to make the right return. I mean, that's what we're here for. We're very clear on that. And just going through, you know, how we solve that. It's a very big market, and there are many ways of sorting this out. So, but again, you know, we remain very positive on that. It's I'm sure it could be a good opportunity for us.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. We have no further questions in the queue. So as a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, please press star one on your telephone keypads now. There are no further questions, so I'll hand back to your host, Miles, to conclude today's conference. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for your time. We greatly appreciate it. All I can summarise is we've started the new year well, and momentum within the business is continuing. Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining today's conference, ladies and gentlemen. You may now replace your handsets.